writer, director, film, circumstance, Ramon Sloan's here. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great. So you wrote a film. It's about a man going up in the world, trying to find himself.
Yeah.
Where did that experience come from? Is this something you were interested in, or it's personal experience?
Well, you know, the movie is actually based on my first book, Motivation Mastering the Game. It's a part of a book series, a 3-part book trilogy. And the story pretty much came from a lot of different stories about people who grew up in the area that I grew up in, the neighborhood that I grew up in. So it was kind of like a mixture of different characters that I put into this book and kind of like put their experiences with life and some of the stuff they went through and things of that nature.
Did you have anybody that was upset they were left out of the book if you're basing it on personal experiences?
Yeah, a couple of people, you know, they didn't say anything to me directly, but I could tell that, you know, some of them, you know, they had some reserves.
So how does that feel? Like, you wrote this movie about people you know. Do you find that kind of weird?
A little bit. You know, at first, initially it was, you know, when you first get it done and you're looking at the movie, you're like, wow, I actually did this. You know, you impress yourself, you know, but, you know, after that settles in, you know, after a few months of, you know, you having that feeling, then you go back into creative mode. So, yeah.
So, did they even come and see the film, the people that you left out of the book?
Oh, yeah. A bunch of people came to see it. Most people did, you know, just because they were interested. Some did, some didn't.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to continue on with your book series and do more film?
We have part two, Circumstances Part 2, that'll be coming out. We actually just finished the script for that, so we're going to be, we're looking to start shooting that in late summer, early fall.
So being an independent filmmaker, I mean, you have a lot of issues with locations and stuff like that. How did that go? Because you do move around your film a lot.
Yeah, well, the thing with that is, you know, is you try to get a lot of favors, you know. I mean, because they can get expensive, you know. Some of our production staff, you know, we knew some guys, like the bar that we rented in, we knew that guy. Some of the houses where people... some of the actors, they live in those houses. So you try to keep the budget down as cheap as you can when you're independent, so it don't get too expensive, you know.
I think this is a funny thing, so I don't want you to take this the wrong way. You have one white actor in the whole film that made me laugh when he showed up. So why is we like? I thought it was going to be a very black centric film. I have no issues with that. And this one white guy shows up.
Well, you know what's funny about that is there were, you know, Aiden Bender, you know, in the book, that's actually a Caucasian guy.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if you know that the girl that played Kimmy, the main, one of the main characters, she was actually supposed to be Asian.
Okay.
You know, and then part two, there's a lot of other white characters that are going to get introduced. But the reason why we didn't have any white people, because, I mean, the casting situation was, you know, it was kind of tight, and, you know, we didn't find the right people to play that role. So actually the director ended up playing the role of Sidney Bender, which was supposed to be, he's actually, he was cast as a white guy in the book. So, but, you know, we had to switch that over. So really, it just happened that way because of resources.
Hey, it's all good. I thought maybe it was the area you filmed in, because you're filming in Detroit, evidently. At least it looks like Detroit to me.
Yeah, Detroit and Milwaukee, yeah.
So I thought maybe, okay, you know, your friends are black or whoever, and they say, I'll do this film for this price. You're like, okay, you're in, you know, because, I mean, that works out a lot.
Yep, that's what happened.
I just thought it was funny when he showed up. I'm like, what's going on here?
Who is he? Right, yeah.
Now, did you want to show more than you could on your budget? Because it looks like you wanted to expand a lot more, I saw in the film. It looks like you were cutting things. Not that you wanted to, but you had no choice.
Most definitely. You know, I'm going to tell you, that was my first film. So even when I wrote the script, I didn't write it with the idea of, okay, what is this going to cost? You know, but if anybody reads the book, Motivation Mastering the Game, they'll know that you know, that the book is well more extensive in terms of a story. You know, we had limited resources, you know, even some of the way the scenes happen and some happened to some of the characters, we had to switch it around because we didn't have firearms. We didn't have, you know, permits to do speeding chases and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, feel like, you know, I, you know, had to take away from the story a lot.
Does that hurt as a writer to miss those things?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. You know, and then you always say the next time is going to be, you know, you're going to make sure that you can do it the best way that you can. And part two, I see us doing part two. I think we can, you know, we can probably pull it off true to the story.
So I guess I'm going to ask, you did fundraising, obviously, for part one. I presume it wasn't out of pocket. How do you fundraise differently for part two?
Well, actually, I'm going to tell you, actually, I did pay out of pocket.
Ooh.
I didn't have any investors. You know, I put all the money up myself. You know, it was a nice budget for independent, you know, simply because, you know, I went around for years, you know, 3-4 years trying to find people to fund the movie. And, you know, I come from Milwaukee where film is not, is more exposure to film now. But back then, you know, 5 years ago, I mean, film was like taboo. It was like somebody like, oh, he's shooting a movie. Like, people really didn't grasp the ideal of that. But, you know, you got all the streaming services now, and then people actually see a lot of the urban films on there. They see low-budget films, and they see, like, okay, this is something that can actually be done. So with regards to funding, you know, part two, we got a couple of, you know, people that are interested now because they seen, you know, part one was made and, you know, it's been a successful movie. You know, I mean, we were recommended on Amazon Prime, you know, for months. And, you know, we were on a lot of different platforms. So in terms of funding with part two, you know, you have those abilities. We may have those abilities now because people see, you know, what we can actually do.
So you have your cast; it's ready to go. The women dress differently. Do they use their own clothes, or do you have to provide clothes? I mean, you're independent productions. So I'm always wondering.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They actually had to come with their own wardrobes. You know, we didn't necessarily have a wardrobe, and you know, some of the scenes the people didn't have what they should have been wearing. So I literally had to go and buy clothes and, you know, stuff like that on a whim, like, you know, like 2 hours before the shoot type stuff.
So, again, let's go a little bit more into your independent filmmaking process. Your catering budget, what happened with that?
The catering budget? Well, I think the catering budget, we had a budget. Well, actually, we shot this movie in 7 days. I'm going to tell you that right now.
7 days?
Yes. Yeah,
oh, you don't sleep, man. There's no sleep for you.
Oh, no, there was no sleep. We talking, man, listen, we talking 17, 18-hour days, like literally, you know. So, you know, we would have days where, you know, we would end at 3 in the morning and be right back going at 7 in the morning, you know, 4 hours of sleep. So as far as catering, you know, we had a lot of restaurants cater us around there. So we had a budget. I don't know what the budget was.
I don't need the number. Just want to know what you did for it.
Yeah. So we, you know, we were able to create some situations with some local restaurants, and you know, they helped us out.
So on a 4 hours sleep and being a director, do you get mad at people for blowing a take?
Actually, on this one, I didn't direct it; I was the executive producer.
Okay,
but I mean, yeah, you know, I tried to be as patient as I could with
everybody. Of course.
You know, because I understood that, you know, some of these people, it was their first movie. You know, they didn't really have that much experience, so I was trying to be as patient as possible. There's a couple of parts where we started to get frustrated, and, you know, we had to kind of like, okay, let's slow it down, take a break, 20, 30 minutes, come back to this, and, you know, kind of like regroup. So, yeah.
So, do you have no permits then for your film, from what I'm understanding?
Oh, no, we didn't have any permits. We didn't have any permits. We were just literally like just shooting everything and kind of like had somebody looking off to the side on some of the parts like, hey, make sure you pay attention. But I don't know if you pay attention to this. A lot of the scenes were shot inside. So
yes,
we didn't really have to worry about a lot of that, you know, permits and whatnot.
How did you find the experience of sitting on a set watching lighting work and blocking work? I mean, did you do any rehearsals?
It was amazing, man. I'm gonna tell you, it was absolutely amazing. It was like one of the greatest feelings I ever had in my life. And you know, I really, you know, you have this feeling of, you know, accomplishment, you know, hope, because of how long it took me to get the film done. You know, you have, you know, feelings of uncertainty, you know, uncertainty, because I mean, it's your first project, so you know, you don't really know what you're doing, you know. It's just a range of different emotions, you know. But overall, the experience was it was a great experience. I learned a lot, you know. And you know, since then, you know, I've been working. You know, I've worked on other projects. You know, I have a docuseries right now. It's called The Product. We just finished up the first episode. It's about a local rapper guy. His name is Cuckoo Cal. And my experience with part one, Circumstances, gave me the confidence to actually feel like, okay, I know what I'm doing, you know, and I actually directed this one. So, it was a hell of an experience, man. I wouldn't trade it for nothing, you know. It was like a big dream of mine when I wrote the book. You know, I told myself this is going to be a movie one day, there's no other greater feeling than actually doing something that you said you was going to do.
So how do you market your film then? You're saying, I mean, you're from Milwaukee. There's not really a lot of film going on. How do you market it?
Well, I marketed a lot through social media ads. You know, we did a big premiere here, and you know, I was buying radio ads, posters, a lot of flyers. You know, I went on a lot of TV programs. Like I was on Sister Circle in Atlanta. I did a lot of magazine press. You know, I actually had a publicist to do a lot of this stuff for me. And, you know, so I just tried to get a lot, as much press as I could, and just a lot of word of mouth, you know, a lot of social media campaigning. I mean, like, you know, around that time when I was promoting Circumstances, like I was on Instagram and Facebook every single day putting posts up. I mean, it's a grueling process. It's a very, sometimes it's discouraging. Sometimes it is, you know, you just like, you know what, I don't got time for this. This is ridiculous. But if you're trying to get it done and you're trying to get the word out there, you got to get out there and promote, especially if you're working with a micro budget like I was.
Okay, let's go back to the micro budget a little bit more. I mean, we have our characters, you have your story. It's all ready because your book is out. It's good.
Yeah.
It's working. How did you find the casting process? I mean, you can't really pay a lot, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a good, real good friend of mine. His name is DeQuavis Coleman. He's an author as well. You know, him and his wife, they authored several books, Ashley and DeQuavis. And he, at the time, he had a film company named Owl Films. So he's the guy who actually introduced me to all this and showed me the whole process with movies and whatnot. So as far as casting, you know, we went out there. The director, Renika Brown, Renika Simone Brown, she's very experienced in directing plays and things like that. So, you know, she put the casting call together for everybody. And then, you know, Detroit, I don't know if a lot of people don't know that Detroit has a very strong market of actors and movie filmmakers and things like that. Like they're like, I want to say in terms of independent movies, urban movies, they got to be like number one in the country, you know, as far as generating revenue and releasing movies. I mean, those guys are over there, they're dropping 2 and 3 movies every other month, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah, they're working over there. So they have a lot of experience. They had a lot of experience, you know? I mean, I can't lie. Most of them was pretty much like my mentor, you know, like the DP. His name is BZ Jones, another guy, Sean Lott. You know, these guys, they had a lot of experience with doing this. So, I mean, I was just really just sitting back watching them, and I got a lot of game and information from them.
Did you get any pushback against your film? Because, I mean, it doesn't exactly portray your characters well.
You mean in terms of, like, the content?
I'm trying not to get into the film. I want people to watch it.
I mean, you know, it's very edgy. Yes. You know, but here's the thing, you know, I just not to give up a lot, but, you know, Milwaukee is number one or two in the nation for human trafficking.
Really?
So this, oh yeah, most definitely. Yeah, this is that's a very real story, you know, that was told, illustrated in that movie.
Yes.
You know, so a lot of people, they didn't like it because of, you know, the rawness, the realness, and just up front, right in your face with it, but you know, I try to tell people, okay, you know, it's nothing like any other movie. It's just like American Gangster when Denzel Washington played that. He played a character that he you know, said that he would never play another role like that again. But that story was real. I mean, it's like, you know, we don't want to look at these real stories. You know, you talk about Al Capone. They talk about all of these different people, you know, who are out here making movies and, you know, filmmakers and all these different individuals, you know, that's talking real stories. It's no different than rap music. I mean, it's like, you know, this, it was a real thing. So, you know, a lot of people, yeah, a lot of people were like, oh, I don't want to watch that, you know, and I would just try to tell them, like, you know, look, don't go into it looking at, okay, I just want to look at this and look at a movie about pimps. No. It's a full story about what goes on in the inner city and how young people can get caught up in this idea of manipulating their community in a bad way, thinking that they're actually getting ahead when they're actually putting themselves further in the hole. You know, not to give up too much, but I mean, that story goes on every day, every single day. You know what I mean? So I felt like it's definitely a story that needed to be told.
I do want to go into one minor story element because I don't really aware. Is the word daddy a common used word, or is that just something you made up?
No, you know what? I'm going to tell you, that word is very – it's a term of endearment in that lifestyle, you know, that a lot of the females use with the guys, you know. So, that was a real term, you know. It was a word that I have no – difference, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, somebody texted me, but I have no idea, like, where it generated from when they first started using it, but, I mean, it's a common word that's used in that life, you know, and I think it's probably used, you know, for various reasons.
So, I don't really want to go too much into your second book, but
yeah,
who does it focus on? I mean, something happens to our lead character. I don't really see him coming back for number two, but it's possible.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's a hell of a twist, and you're not going to believe it.
Okay.
I'll tell you like that.
That's all I wanted. I don't want to go into it because I'm going to watch the film, so we don't want to ruin that.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave your film here. I'm going to give you some fun questions because I know you have to go, so we're just going to do this quick for you. Because I have a time limit with you, so just so everybody knows, we're not trying to get rid of you. I just want you respect your time. Your favorite film? Your favorite film?
My favorite film is the Godfather series.
Okay.
Part one that's like my favorite movie. Yeah.
A film you didn't like the ending of?
A film that I didn't like the ending of probably would be Den of Thieves. With 50 Cent, and I thought I wanted more.
So did I. I want a little bit more explanation to how we got there.
Yeah.
It kind of wrapped it up in the last 10 minutes. I'm like, no, we got to know how we got there.
Exactly.
I'm totally with you. And this one's going to be really easy. Your favorite snack at the movie theater?
Oh, my favorite snack, man, it would have to be popcorn. I try to stay away from the milk duds. It used to be those, but I can't really eat that like that no more. So I probably would say popcorn and a slushie.
Tell everybody where they can buy your books, where they can find your film, and where they can find your new project.
You can find my books on Amazon. Just look up Arthur Swift or Arthur Swift Sloan. My last book was Black DiBiase. So that's that. And as far as the movies, the films, you can go on to Fine Circumstances. You can go on Tubi TV. You can go on Amazon Prime. You can go on Google Play, iTunes. It's also on Comcast Cable. So if you have cable on demand in certain states, you can watch it on Comcast Cable. And I'm sorry, what was the last one?
You said you had a new project coming out.
Yeah, I have a new project. It's called The Rise and Fall of Cuckoo Cow. This is a documentary about Cuckoo Cow, who had a number one song called In My Project on the Billboard charts for 6 consecutive weeks. So it was a real big deal. He was signed to Tommy Boy Records, and his story is a phenomenal story about, you know, the rise and fall, and, you know, and we're just basically talking about what happened with him and, you know, how it happened. So I think a lot of people will be interested in that. We've been getting some good feedback.
That's great
to
hear.
So that right there, we're actually shopping distribution for that right now. So it's completed and done, and we're actually looking for somewhere to sit it.
Awesome. Great. Thank you for your time. Have a great day.
Simon, thank you so much, man.
No problem. Bye-bye. Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page? Thank you.